This is the Thursday evening Bible class with your host, author, and Bible teacher, Dr. Victor Matthews. And this is lesson number 6 in our series titled Biblical Principles for Spiritual Growth. And in this lesson, Dr. Matthews will look at the principles for a correct view of our daily life. And be sure to download our study notes for the lesson by going to www.drvictormatthews.org. That's drvictormatthews.org. And now with today's lesson on the correct view of our daily life, here is Dr. Matthews.
Here in the Gospel of Matthew, we have a number of passages that refer to the kingdom of God. And from these passages, we're distilling some of the principles that have to do with our Christian life and our Christian growth. I want to go back now to a passage we used before in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, a very important passage of Scripture, Matthew 7, 21. The Lord Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes." I'd like again to say, in relationship to this passage, that it was very evident that when the Lord Jesus was here, there was one great, most important task that he had in mind. It wasn't healing people, as important as that was. It wasn't casting out demons, as important as that was. It was not ministering to them in all of their physical need, as important as that was. There was one great paramount desire and activity, and he was always working with it, and that is teaching the people the truth. We all minimize the tremendous value of knowing the truth, and we do that to our great loss. All through the Gospels, we have the Lord Jesus continually reaching out to people, conveying to them the truth that they could take and put it into practice in their daily life. And the reason for it, as we'll discuss this evening, becomes very, very evident. One more passage now, please, the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 12. The 12th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew and verse 10. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 10. You notice in the 10th verse of Matthew 12, "And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him? And he said unto them, What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep? And if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore, it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. And then saith he to the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other." This story is placed into the Bible to illustrate many great truths, but one preeminently that I'd like to talk about this evening. It is that inseparable relationship that we find in the kingdom of God, between the Word of God and the power of God. If you can get a hold this evening of this principle, it'll make a great deal of difference in your life. If you can see that God has made a provision for you, so that by knowing and practicing the Word of God, that becomes a channel through which He can minister His Word and His grace and His power in your life. If we can only see that, it'll be overwhelming and changing for us as believers. I'm on page 44 now this evening, lesson number 7. And I'd like to talk about principles related to a correct view of daily life. Notice in the introduction, I make the statement that in these lessons, we have been constantly reminded that the kingdom of God is like a supernatural invasion into the kingdom of Satan. The King, the Lord Jesus, came into this world by divine appointment, and He is the spearhead of that invasion. Capital B, the kingdom of God is an invasion of light into darkness, of life into death, of truth into error, and of freedom into slavery. And the list, of course, in the New Testament would go on and on. Let me illustrate this rather simply now. Let me just remind you of something that is very, very wonderful. We understand the meaning of this word darkness in the New Testament. We realize that the kingdom of God is like a supernatural invasion into the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of light into the kingdom of darkness, God's freedom into slavery, His life into our death, His truth into error. There's no end of the application of this in your life and mine. To realize that we're no longer a part of that kingdom of darkness with all of its bondage and error and death. We've been set free. He's come to us and spoken to us and ministered to us. All of this, of course, is due to the grace of God and the initiative of God Himself. Here we are as a group of people, most of us now, I trust, all of us born by the Spirit of God. And we're in God's kingdom. We're characterized by every good thing, even though we may not be appreciative of that or know very much about it or live that way. We have been given all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Not because we're any better than anybody else, but because of the grace of God. He's come to us, and He's initiated this in your life and mine. And we manifest and demonstrate and illustrate the very meaning of the kingdom of God. There are two ways of understanding the kingdom of God. One is to read the Bible, and the other is to listen to believers. And our very manner of life, our priorities, what we desire, what we praise, what we treasure, what we live for, the motivation of our life, what we find enjoyable, all of that is a concrete, practical demonstration of what the kingdom of God is all about today. Some of you are saying, well, if you listen to Christians, there's nothing perfect about us. Well, because of the situation in the world today and the fact that all of redemption hasn't been applied, the kingdom of God doesn't have perfect manifestations. How wonderful to know that we're all pre-enrolled in a kingdom that one of these days will have perfect manifestations. There will be a day when the kingdom of God will not only have spiritual manifestations as we see it here this evening, it'll have political manifestations. And in that day, righteousness will cover the earth as waters cover the sea, Isaiah and Zechariah said. And that day there will only be praise to the true and the living God. And there will only be holiness and truth and love in your life and mine. No more death, sighing, sorrow, separation. And we're pre-enrolled in that perfect kingdom that's yet to be manifested. Notice again in the introduction, capital C, while we were once citizens of the kingdom of Satan and characterized by its darkness, death, error, and slavery, the Lord Jesus has come to us and set us free. We're now characterized by His light, His life, His truth, His freedom. Capital D. Now that we have the privilege and opportunity of living in His kingdom, the old way of living must be understood and rejected forever. We must seek to comprehend and implement this new way of life and truth. And that's right where we are this evening now. We're all right there in capital D, and we have to understand that. And now work aggressively, and that's, of course, the reason for our Bible class, is that we might all share together and understand how to implement this new life that we find through the Lord Jesus Christ. Capital E, the basic text for our lesson, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Next verse. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And then saith the Lord Jesus to the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other. In all three of these passages, we have the basic fundamental theme of our lesson tonight. And that is the precious treasury of the Word of God, and how God has determined that through His Word, He's going to bring every good thing into your life and mine. Well, let's work on it now. Notice number one on the bottom of page 44, the divine provision for the daily life, capital A, the biblical principle. We understand from the Bible how the basic provision for salvation in all of the aspects of the daily life is simply God Himself. He is our very life. He created us originally and recreated us in the new birth spiritually. The basis of all this ministry of grace finds its source in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came into this world as our representative. In His suffering and death, He broke the power of Satan, made atonement for our sin, died our death, and set us free from the condemnation of hell. Top of page 45, please. The application of all of this has been brought to us through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He has convicted us of our sinful and lost condition. He has brought us through the recreation of the new birth. He dwells within us to teach us the Word of God and how to live in harmony with the truth. Number four, the glorious provision that God has made is now clearly before us. God has given us His Word. The Holy Spirit dwells within us to teach us the Word of God and how to implement it in our daily life. It is the divine plan that through His Word, every good thing will come to us. And that, of course, is the theme of our lesson this evening. Let me put the little diagram on the board. It might be of help to us this evening. We've worked on this basic diagram many times. The relationship between God and you as a person born by the Holy Spirit, is basically now, if I might draw the line down like this, is basically the Word of God, the Bible. So here we have it, the Word of God. Now we know that this is a manifestation of many, many things. Let me just write a couple, three up here that might be of help to us. The Word of God is a manifestation of God's love, the love of God. The provision of God. I'm thinking here particularly of the crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension. Thirdly, it's the provision for the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our life. So everything that we are talking about this evening now in relationship to the Word of God has to do with a way whereby He manifests His love in your life and mine. He brings this provision of the crucifixion, resurrection, ascension into your life and mine. And then, of course, the total ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's never separated from the Scripture, God's divine revelation to us. Notice on page 45, under number four, God created us so that He could communicate with us and we with Him. B, we are basically spirit. Talked about that a great deal in lesson number two, and thus the most important facet of our life is the spiritual. So in the Bible, God doesn't address us as a body. He addresses us as a person. And particularly, He speaks to us as a spiritual kind of a person. Now, we often get that all turned around. See, It must be recognized that the term Word of God is much broader than simply the Holy Scripture. This would include the very name of the Lord Jesus, John 1, and all of the speaking of God, such as in creation. Here the Lord Jesus is called the Word of God. D. However, we also understand that all of God's ministry to us is in harmony with His written Word. Basically, this is the source of the grace and the power of God in our daily life. We may not therefore ever separate the written Word of God, the Holy Scripture, from the living Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible is not simply ink on paper. It is God speaking to us. The Scripture has been created and designed by God to be the channel through which we receive His divine grace and power. So let me write it now and work on this a little bit. Let me designate it here. What does the Word of God become in your life and mine? Well, on one hand, we receive all of the provision of the grace of God that has been designed to work in your life and mine with power. So here's the basic theme this evening. We all have a tendency to slip off into looking upon the Bible as simply ink on paper. We make that division between the written Word of God and the living Word of God. And when we do that, we're violating a very, very important principle. Now, if I understand that the Word of God has been given to me by divine inspiration, and that I have in my hand a good translation, an authoritative translation, I have no qualms of calling it the very Word of God. God has given me His Word so that He may work through the Bible in my life, so that He may communicate with me, not just talk with me through the Bible, but that He may communicate to me so that I might be the recipient of His grace through a knowledge and a practice of the Word of God, and that through His grace I might have the power of God in my daily life. Now, if we can get a hold of this, it'll change our life. I'm a little ahead of myself with this illustration, but most of us here this evening have had at least one clear experience of this, and that was in our salvation. I don't know how it was in your life, but there came a time in my life when I couldn't go on living the way I was. I was under conviction. I had been given the plan of salvation. As a little fellow attending a Sunday school class, I was told the plan of salvation. I knew that if I were ever going to get to heaven, that I had to repent, acknowledge that I was a sinner, believe the gospel, receive Jesus Christ, my Savior, and submit to Him as my Lord. I knew that. But there came a time in my life when I did more than just know it. I practiced it, where by the grace of God, I repented and acknowledged before God that I was a sinner. And I believed the gospel, and I received the Lord Jesus, and I submitted to Him as my Lord. And all of that was the manifestation of how He was working in my life. We're reminded in John 1:12, as many as received Him, to them He gives the power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe upon His name. So the Word of God became the way whereby He brought grace and power into my life, and I'm sure into your life as well. Well, let's work it out now this evening. Notice number 5 at the bottom of page 45 in the Scripture that forms the text of this lesson, we recognize this principle. When the Lord Jesus spoke to the man with the withered hand, divine grace and power for healing accompanied His word. When the man recognized and honored the Lord Jesus in a response of faith and obedience, he was healed. It is this provision of a divine speaking and its relationship to our daily life that we must now seek to understand. So here was the man with that withered hand. Can you imagine the trouble that had given him all of his life? Can you imagine what happened to him when he first, as a little boy, discovered one hand was different from the other? And that was the day, going to his mother and father, he learned a new word, and the word was cripple. Can you imagine all the time of his life going to school, with a withered hand, always being the last one to be chosen up for the softball team, always held up to ridicule. Children can be very cruel. And finally, the Lord Jesus met him and just spoke to him and told him to stretch out his hand. What would have happened to that man if he had said to the Lord Jesus, "Well, now, that's nice that you tell me to do that, but if I could do it, I would have stretched it out 1,000 times before." If he had addressed the Lord Jesus with that kind of an attitude of doubt and hesitancy, he never would have been healed. He didn't do that. He simply accepted the word of God from God himself and simply obeyed. And in the speaking to him, there was the enablement to stretch out his hand. What an interesting thought that is. You see, that's the principle. Now, God has given us his word. All of us here have at least one clear illustration, that matter of salvation. He was speaking his word into our life right here, not just ink on paper. The word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, we need to get a hold of that for our daily life, that the word of God now is the way whereby he ministers to us of himself. Notice capital B now, some biblical illustrations of this principle. The divine instruction of the wilderness wanderings. Notice this in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that you may live, isn't that interesting, live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. So to go in, to have the ability to possess the land, was to obey the commandments. And thou shalt remember all of the way which the Lord thy God led thee, these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. Page 46. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live, that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. This is a very important passage. Notice my comment. These verses bring the lesson into sharp focus. God allowed his people to be hungry and in danger in the wilderness so that they would learn that their provision and protection came either directly or indirectly from God himself. Number two, what Israel was here taught by way of manna physically, they were to learn in less material ways when God promised them that they would overcome their enemies as they believed his word and obeyed him. They saw the power of God in the defeat of their foes. So with the manna, he was teaching them on a very low, pardon the expression, but a very low spiritual level. It was on a level where they had to do with their hunger of their body and their sight and the gathering of the manna. God bestowed it. They went out on the basis of the promise. They saw the manifestation of the promise. They gathered twice as much on the day before the Sabbath, and they had enough for 2 days. They went back on the next day, and it was there. In other words, he was training them by just giving them every day as they had need of manna from heaven. He was training them on a rather low material plane that they could believe his word and take him at his word. Now, later on, he gave them promises that were a little higher on the list, more spiritual promises about overcoming their foes as they learned to trust him for a more spiritual area where they had been trusting him for a physical area, material, about manna. Then they saw the power of God manifested. This is what the Lord wants in your life and mine. That we learn to understand that when he gives his word, then he wants to minister to us powerfully in the fulfillment of the word in our daily life. Let's work it out here now. Number three, if God was to bless Israel and to give them the land of Canaan, the lesson before us in these verses had to be learned. Not many of them understood, and therefore not many of them entered the land. What a tragedy. Joshua understood, and under his leadership, the word of God was carefully followed at Jericho, and the power of God was manifested among them. Well, now, I need to enlarge a little bit on the diagram. What do we need now in order to make this operable in your life and mine? To make it work, I have to now put another line here. And the line would go something like this. Instead of descending, it should now ascend. And here I would put the word receive. Receive. In our relationship to God, to be at the place where I can receive the meaning of the love of God, the meaning of His provision, of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So there's the manifestation of the grace and the power of God. So years ago, when I had been taught as a little fellow the plan of salvation, as years went by and God deepened a conviction, there came time in my life when I received what I knew was there. And then God was able, as I received, as I responded, totally by the grace of God, of course. But I believed, and in that believing, received the grace and the power of God. Well, notice the next one. Number two, the instruction in the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Notice my comment. Satan is here tempting the Lord Jesus to act on his own initiative and to satisfy a legitimate desire, hunger, by illegitimate means, getting out of the will of God. By his answer, the Savior states that he would rather be hungry in the will of God than be satisfied physically out of his Father's will. Number two, it's particularly helpful to contemplate the answer of the Lord Jesus in regard to the theme of this lesson. As we meditate on his answer, we recognize that he's saying more than simply, My Father will provide food for me in due time. Of course he's saying that, but much more. He is affirming that he was living by the very word and will of God and could continue to so live as long as it was the will of God. His very existence as the God-man did not depend upon bread, but on the very word of God. Have you ever thought about that verse in relationship to yourself? What causes you to live? Some of you are thinking, food causes me to live, and drink. Oh, no, it doesn't. That just has to do with your body. Your real self lives by the Word of God. God spoke us into existence. That's what it meant for Him to create us. He maintains us in all of what it means to be a person by His speaking. The Lord Jesus who made us, He upholds us as a person, a spiritual person, by His Word. Hebrews chapter 1, Philippians chapter 2. In this day in which we're living, with the kind of a body we have, we get the thing all turned around where we think of everything as simply material and physical. It's not that way at all. We are fundamentally and basically spiritual people, and we are upheld by God's Word. Now, we need to look behind this, what the Lord Jesus was talking about. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And that our very spiritual life, our very existence, even in times when we may be without physical sustenance, we may be upheld by the very word of God. We live by the word of God, and we will always live that way. So now we need to apply that to our spiritual life. If we could learn that and work as seriously every day, the same way that we work to nurture our physical body and feed it well, we'd be in pretty good spiritual shape. Do you see what I'm saying? It's an inexorable, wonderful principle in the Bible. That as we read and study and practice and meditate and hear and live, God wants to use His Word to strengthen us. Just like a good meal, spiritually in our lives, to undergird us, to cause us to grow spiritually, to delight in the things of God. Many of us have never learned to live that way. And on the inside, in our inner man, we're like a little pygmy. And we are weak. We're like a newborn calf. Haven't you ever seen? Can't stand up yet. Keeps trying happily about the fourth or fifth time it can. We rear up there and down we go, right on our chin. Haven't you ever noticed them doing that? We are people who cannot get our spiritual legs under us. We are suffering from a starvation ration. God expects you to learn how to feed yourself spiritually. He wants you to know that His Word is not ink on paper. Oh, if we could only get a hold of this, how different it would be. This is what the church is all about. Well, notice number three. Number three, on top of page 47. To apply this statement of the Lord Jesus to our lives is most helpful. Even though He had an immediate need for food, the Lord Jesus did not approach the problem as a body. Isn't that interesting? A physical problem, but He didn't approach it as a body. His reply indicated how His bodily needs were subservient to and subject to Himself as spirit. We must understand this priority of the spiritual and realize how truly our very life depends upon God's Word and will. So, what does He want in your life and mine? He wants us day by day to live spiritually as well as physically. And He wants to minister to us and nurture us spiritually. Number three, third illustration. The instruction of Paul's explanation of the kingdom of God. Notice the statement, for the kingdom of God is not in word but in power. The observations, this verse emphasizes the great truth that the power of God accompanies the word of God. Same thought that we had with the man with the withered hand. This would lead us to believe that God desires to minister to us by His word whenever we read, hear, and obey the scripture. Number two, as we consider this principle, we must keep before us the thought that God desires to work with us and to minister to us spiritually. He's concerned about how we are in the inner man. He is concerned about how we are, our walk with Him, our fulfillment, our fruitfulness, our participation in the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And it's all high on the list of His priorities. The plan and provision that He has for us so that we may have these spiritual needs continually met is through His Word. We must learn to recognize that which is the will of God for us, to claim the appropriate promises of the will of God in the obedience of trust. Look at that verse again. The kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Well, now, it's that principle I have right here on the board. How we long for the power of God to be manifested in our lives and in our churches. And the kind of power that many times we want is not really so much the will of God, as that if we have what we long for, we would be probably very easily pushed out of the will of God. Say that you had, biblically, miracle workers in your church that could heal people. Say you had the power of God manifested that way. You'd have people coming from all over the world to be healed in your church. You'd have a continual building program and couldn't keep up with it. You'd have PR people coming to want you to put you on television. They'd want to make money with you. You'd have no end of trouble if the power was just manifested physically. All of us think how great and glorious it would be if we would have that kind of power. That's not what particularly what God wants. I believe in healing. I don't believe we have healers today. I believe we have a good deal of healing and ought to have a great deal more through prayer. But now, the real power that we're talking about is a spiritual matter. You know the concern that we have in our churches for that? Why, it's not worth a snap of many of our fingers. We're not concerned about that. How we would be, we'd mortgage our homes if we could have the power of God to heal people biblically in our churches. Boy, I'd put our church on the map. We'd get in Time magazine. We'd be popular. We'd finally teach those Methodists down the street. You see, we've missed it. God has made the provision for us so that He can work with us powerfully in our spirit, spiritually. And you know, we have such a little concern about that, that it's difficult for us to even understand this simple biblical principle. No wonder Paul said the kingdom of God is not in word, but is in power. Okay, next illustration, page 47. Number four, the instruction of Paul in Paul's reference, the instruction in Paul's reference to his own ministry. 1 Thessalonians 1:5 reads, "Our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power," there it is, "and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance." Now notice my comment. Here the apostle describes how God used his word to work with power by the Holy Spirit in the lives of those who heard him preach at Thessalonica. His ministry was not simply the presentation of great truths. As the people heard the word of God and responded, their needs were met. Now, is that the pattern for our lives today? No, we somehow missed that. We enjoy the chart that we have here on the board. You can't say that I'm not teaching the word. That's why I write all these verses out so you can see it. I'm simply explaining the verse. We're all going to have to say this is a biblical principle. But what I'm trying to do is to get you to the place where when you open the Bible, you're ready to, what is the word? Receive. And when we go to church, we go to receive. Is he ready to minister to it? He certainly is. How do many of us go? We go and we come home the way we went. We do not receive. About the only thing that's happened is that we've taken an hour and a half out of our life and we've given our tithes and love offering. We need to learn the principle. It's most basic. This is the principle for growth. Oh, how wonderful to be able to go to a place where a man has had years of training, a man of God, a man anointed with the Holy Spirit and special gifts, and he has a life where he's completely set apart so he can give himself to the study of the Word of God and prepare these spiritual meals for people. And here we have the opportunity of coming, and he shares the meal with us on Sunday morning. And we come to be fed and convicted and encouraged and humbled and strengthened, and we are built up. Is that the picture of the church? Not very often. We've missed it. We have missed it unitedly. And it's right on the surface of the Bible. If we're going to grow, we're going to have to understand that the Word of God has been given to us as a means whereby he can speak his grace and power into our life. And for most of us, we simply treat it as ink on paper. Interesting? Right. Yes, interesting. That's about as far as it gets. We've never learned. Notice number two at the bottom of page 47. Do these verses describe how it ought to be today? I can only say yes. We have fallen into a terrible habit of simply accepting the Word of God by hearing only. Too often we may not even hear the Word, or we criticize the speaker or even God and express doubt concerning the Scripture. Well, I want you to think about it. How important it is that we get a hold of this. Number two, top of page 48. the biblical explanation of this theme for the daily life. First of all, the Word of God described. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Holding forth the Word of life. Notice that word. Word of life. The life-giving Word, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. The Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder, soul and spirit, joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. My comment now. All of these verses clearly present the theme of this lesson. God has designed the Word of God so that He can speak powerfully into our lives through it. This truth formed the basis of the apostles' confidence in God and the gospel. He spoke of the Bible as the word of life, that is, through the scripture, God brought eternal life to those who obeyed in repentance and faith. The passage in Hebrew presents two characteristics of the Bible which encourage us. The scripture is living and powerful. This is the very opposite of thinking of the word of God as ink on paper. Well now, a couple of illustrations, capital B, the Word of God and salvation. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Of His own will begat He, the new birth, begat He us, how? With the Word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Next verse, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The comment, these verses illustrate the power that God speaks into our life through His Word. Our very salvation is the result of this. We will never have a greater need than this, and there will never be an area of our life where we are more helpless. The principle of this lesson is seen in these verses. The power of the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is brought to us and made a reality in our life through the Word of God. Capital C, page 49, the Word of God now in the daily life. We're working up now to the application here. Number one, God will use His Word to build us up. Now let me just put it on the overhead projector just to make it a little more clear here now this evening, if I might work on the diagram a little bit and simplify it a bit here. Here's the relationship now between God and you, and let's call this on one hand truth, as we have so many times, and now that we've been using this word, power, let's put that accompanying the truth. Now, God desires through His truth to make His power manifest. You notice the first one. God will use His word to build us up. So now, here now we have to edify. Now, how all of us need this so very much. When God works in us to edify, so many good things happen. We stop being doubting, bitter, critical people. There's so much good spiritual healing that goes on when we're edified. The Christian life is so much easier to live when we're edified. And this is the express will of God for us. Notice the verse. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace. Do you see how the Bible's called the word of the grace of God? The grace of God comes into your life and mine through the word. No wonder Psalm 45, where the Messiah is described, He's described as one who has grace poured into His lips. Why, we see it now this evening. When He speaks to us, the grace of God comes into our lives. Through His speaking, we have the power of God. So Paul said, I commend you to God and the word of His grace, which is able to build you up. The comment, the word able in this verse is a translation of dunamis, from which we get our word dynamite. Through His word, God has provided a means whereby we may be edified, strengthened, unified, enabled, made fruitful. When we learn to respond to God on the basis of His word as the man with the withered hand, we will continually experience the fulfillment of this promise. We will be daily edified. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could all learn how to do that and have it working in our lives every day? That's exactly what God wants. That when we get up in the morning and spend a few minutes with the Bible before we start the day, that through God's Word, the Holy Spirit now can bring all of this provision. We have the manifestation of the love of God and all of the provision of the atonement and the Holy Spirit. That becomes a reality in our life. And whatever we need that day by way of edification, it can be a reality. How does it come about in the will of God? Through His Word. Can it be like that in your life? That's the very express will of God for you. Number two, God will use His Word to sanctify us. John 17:17. Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy Word is truth. This word sanctify refers to many of the goals which the Holy Spirit desires to make a reality within us. Basically, it means to separate from sin and to make holy. This is the highest priority for every believer. There's nothing that's more necessary, more helpful, more fruitful, more fulfilling, more in the will of God for each of us than our sanctification. The means provided by God so that this will come to pass daily is the Word of God. So now we can put another one up here, and that is to sanctify. To sanctify. This is a work of the Holy Spirit through the Bible. Number three, God will use His Word to sanctify and cleanse us. Ephesians 5. Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. Observation. Here the emphasis, again, is on the daily work of sanctifying. Paul speaks of this as the goal that God continually desires to accomplish through His Word. Our responsibility is to fully respond to God on the basis of the Word by obedience, setting of priorities, and the decisions of faith and love. Now, that's our part in response to the Word of God. So we can put another one here. Wouldn't it be great now, day by day, to know what it means to be edified, for this work of sanctification to be carried on, and then, of course, every day that we might be a cleansed person. My, how we need these. Number four, God will use His Word to protect us, Ephesians 6. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, that's the Bible, having on the breastplate of righteousness, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Top of page 50, please. In both of these references, it's the power of the Word of God that serves to protect the believer from Satan and from his demons. So let me put that on the board. Not only now has God made a provision for our edification, our sanctification, our cleansing, but our protection, to protect us. Notice now, top of page 50. It must be noted, however, that this protection only is a reality when the truth is practiced, that is, the loins girt about, and when the truth is put to use, that is, the sword. A mere hearing or knowing of the Word of God is not sufficient. When the Lord Jesus was attacked by Satan, it was the Word of God that he used. Well, we need now to stop and take a look at this. The principle is very clear. Some years ago, a man called me long distance from another state. He said he was having spiritual trouble. He described it. He said, "Can you help me?" And I said, "Yes, I'll send you some material in the mail." And I said, "Now, when you get this, you read it carefully and you put it into practice, and I think it will help you." 4 days later, I got another telephone call from the same person. I said, "Did you get my material?" He said, "Yes." I said, "How is it?" He said, "I've read it twice and nothing has happened." I was almost lost my sanctification for a moment there. No wonder he was in trouble. We have to do more than just read the Bible. We've got to now practice it. And now the great promise in the Bible that when God speaks His Word to us, the power of God always accompanies His speaking, so that there can be in your life and mine a continual continual work of the Holy Spirit in edification, sanctification, cleansing, and protection. What more do we need? Almost everything we need comprehended under these four great divisions. Number three, I come now to the third point on page 50, the biblical application of this theme regarding the daily life, capital A. What must we do? The Word of God must be read. The verse, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow. That's our theme for these 10 weeks. Grow thereby. Observation. Before we can put the Word of God to use, and before God can bring His power into our life through His Word, we must have some knowledge and understanding of the Scripture. Many Christians have a sincere desire to live for God and often try very diligently to live the Christian life. All too often, such a person will be confused at the lack of freedom and fruitfulness in their daily life. It is clear in the Bible that God is pleased with every desire we have for Him and all efforts that are characterized by sincerity. However, God can only bless us through our practice of His Word. He cannot bless us in our error. What we do not know, we cannot practice. We must make up our mind to read and study the Bible, and this will make it possible for God to bring His power into our daily life. Now, I hope you're reading the Bible. Now, you need to do that. You need to find a translation that's a good one and that is on your style. You need to find a translation that fits into your way of thinking. And now you need to read the Bible and work with it. Maybe get a simple handbook that explains it as you go along. A good, simple commentary might be of great help to you. Or find somebody that can help you, and you read the Bible together and have them comment upon it. We've got to read the Bible. We've got to learn the book. Capital B, the Word of God must be mixed with faith. Hebrews 4, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, the people who didn't get into the land of Canaan. The word preached, notice this, didn't profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. The observation, once we know the Word of God, then we must mix it with faith. This is a necessary response to God if we are to have God's rest, which is a practical fulfillment of His promise in our daily life. The illustration in these verses relates to those who came out of Egypt under the leadership of Moses and didn't believe God in regard to all His promises that He would give them the land of Canaan. Because of their unbelief, they could not enter in, and God could not give them the ability they needed to take the land. This is a warning to us. Faith is a decision, not a feeling, to take God at His word and to put it into practice, obedience, while continually trusting Him. So we need to mix the Word of God with faith. Capital C, top of page 51. The Word of God must be practiced in the obedience of faith. The verse now, know ye not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, that's one alternative, or obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were, past tense, the servants of sin. But you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, the Bible, which was delivered you. Now what happens when we obey the Bible? Being then made free from sin, you become the servants of righteousness. That's this diagram right here. We become the recipient of God's grace and power. On one hand, more free from sin. On the other hand, more the servants of righteousness. Next verse. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, because it's God that worketh in you. To will, that is to help you to choose. And to do, that's to practice His good pleasure. So when I obey, then God works in me. You see the verse? Next verse. Seeing you have purified your souls, how? How do we purify our soul? In obeying the truth. Now here's the diagram right here. It's number three. We are cleansed by a knowledge and an obedience of the Word of God. It's all through the Bible. Observation. The message of these verses is clear. When we obey God, He works in us. The theme of this lesson and the key to a successful Christian life is unmistakably presented in these three passages. Once we know the Word of God, mix the Word with faith, practice the truth in the obedience of faith, then God can pour His provision of power into our daily life. Oh, I have been so concerned this week that you'd get it. That's why I wrote it out here. 8 pages. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the convulsion the printer had when he saw my lesson for this week? I wanted to do everything I could so that you would see it. It'll change your life. Now, capital A, this lesson brings a serious responsibility to all of us. We must learn to do what we now know is right. Obey God through His Word and practical decisions of faith. In order to make this more practical, use the following schedule for the coming week. Pray the prayer at the beginning of each day and read the designated verse. Ask God to help you to learn the principle found in this lesson. I would suggest you pray like this. Tomorrow morning, Friday morning, and say, O Lord God, I worship before You and thank You for Yourself and Your grace made known to me in the Lord Jesus Christ. I commit myself in this new day to You for Your glory. Enable me to understand and practice this passage of Your Word today. 2 Corinthians 12:9. You need to read the verse. Bring these truths to my attention through the day. Teach me to trust You and obey Your holy Word. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I've given you a verse for every day until we meet here in the auditorium again. I'd like you to try this. And during the day, think back upon the verse. Might be a good idea to write the verse out on a little piece of paper and keep it in your pocket. When you have a moment of time, pull it out and take a look at it during the day. Ask God to teach you so that this might be a reality. And this principle now, this principle might be worked out in your life. We understand the meaning of the kingdom of God. It's an invasion of light into darkness, truth into error, life into death, freedom into bondage. We're a part of it. And God wants this to be working in your life and mine every day. And there's no reason why it can't work like that in your life and in mine. So let's pray for one another this week. And please remember my request, if you would. Let's bow together now to thank the Lord. Loving Father, take these verses that we've read and work this great principle into our life. We thank You for Your goodness to us. We pray that You'd humble us this evening for how we've neglected You and Your holy Word. Encourage us now and make this a turning point in our spiritual life. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.
Thanks for joining us for this lesson in our series, Biblical Principles for Spiritual Growth. And we hope that you'll take the time to listen to each of the lessons in this series. And we also have a number of other topics that are available for study, so be sure to look for them when you visit our website at www.drvictormatthews.org. That's drvictormatthews.org.